You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.
Amen. Good morning, church. We will continue in our study through Hebrews, our Jesus is Better sermon series. So if you would, pull out a copy of God's Word with me. We'll be in Hebrews chapter 6 this morning. Looking at verses 13 through 20. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 13 through 20. And as you flip there, I want to tell you about a family beach trip that me and my family of six got to go on this past fall break at the beginning of October. It was so good. We loved every bit of it, most bits of it. The reason it was only most bits is because in order to get to the beach, we went to Panama City Beach. You have to take a 9-hour drive. That's not too bad for adults, right? I have four kids, all 5 years old or younger. And so it's a 9-hour drive with four kids. And I'm the type of dad where if we get in the car, we're not stopping. We're not getting out of the car until we get to our final destination. Many of you might be like that. And the time of day we left at 3 o'clock on a Friday, right after school ended. Terrible idea. Because all the way down to Florida, there was traffic. Not just Nashville, but like after Nashville, before Birmingham, it was just traffic the whole way. Stop and go, stop and go, stop and go. And so that 9-hour trip was way longer than 9 hours. And so here was the result. 9-hour trip, four kids, a lot of traffic, a whole lot of screaming and crying. A whole lot of sinning, unfortunately, from the front seat and the back seat. And it was a little bit of throw up. We had one get car sick. That wasn't fun. And then we had about 37 questions before we even got to Nashville. Are we there yet? Daddy, are we there yet? Mommy, are we there yet? And so me and Caitlin, my wife, we're in the front seat and we just give the same answer every single time. Just consistency is key with kids, right? Are we there yet? Answer. We'll be there soon. Like, we just pulled out of our driveway, but hey, we'll be there soon. We just got out of Calvert City, but hey, we'll be there soon. We're not to Nashville yet, but we'll be there soon. And so I started to sense they were discouraged by my answer. We'll be there soon. And so I wanted to encourage them. And so I added some further instruction. They would say, Daddy, are we there yet? I say, hey kids, we'll be there soon, but until then, I just need you to hold tight. It's good, right? It wasn't good. And then I said, Daddy, are we there yet? I said, hey, we'll just be there soon. I need to switch it up. I said, but just be patient until we get there. Just be patient. They didn't like that either. All right, so then they keep asking, Daddy, are we there yet? And so then I switched it up. I said, kids, we'll be there soon. But until then, you know, I think it'd be a really good idea if y'all just got some sleep. Like, if y'all could just close your eyes, if you could just take a nap and stop annoying mom and me, like, that would be incredible. Just close your eyes and go to sleep. I'm telling you, that trip was hard. It was really, really hard. We had our kids. They wanted to get out of the car. Like, they wanted to just pull up on the side of the interstate and just take a break. They wanted to turn around and go home. They were ready to give up on our beach vacation. But here you have me and Caitlin in the front seat, and we know we can't give up. We know what awaits us at the end of this 9-hour trip. We know the beach is waiting. And so eventually, I started to sense they were really discouraged. And so I made them a promise. I said, hey kids, I know you're suffering. I know it's hard. I know you're sick. I know you're tired. I know you're ready to be there. But here's my promise to you. I promise that if you'll just fall asleep, when you wake up, we'll be there. I promise that if you just fall asleep, when you wake up, we will be there. And apparently for my kids, that was a good enough promise. They fell asleep. It was a miracle. All four kids in the back seat asleep at the same time. It's a peaceful drive. And when I look back to that trip, here's what I realized. Two things. I made a promise, but perhaps more importantly, my four kids, really the two older that could understand it, they chose to trust my promise. They chose to trust me, Right? When their daddy, who they love, who they trust, made them a promise, that's all they needed. They just needed assurance. Don't just tell me we're gonna be there, promise me. And so I promised them, and they fell asleep trusting in the promise I made to them. And guess what they tell you now? If they were here this morning, if they were in this service, they tell you that that beach trip was absolutely worth it. That 9-hour trip, it was hard, but that week at the beach was worth it. The beach was worth the drive. As I was studying our text for this morning, what I realized is that that 9-hour experience, that 9-hour trip to the beach is a whole lot like what you and I are experiencing in the world today as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ. You and I are on a really hard trip. It's hard, full of suffering, full of sin, full of sorrows, full of crying, full of screaming. But this trip is taking us to a place that is incredible. This trip is taking us to a destination that you don't want to miss. Except you and I, we're not the mom or dad in the front seat who's making the promise. The reality is that you and I are the kids in the back seat, and we're struggling. We're screaming, we're kicking, we're crying, we're sinning, and we're wondering, are we ever really gonna get there? You know, I realize that some of us could even be here this morning, and just like my kids, you've had enough. You're ready to pull over on the side of the road. You're ready to turn around and just go back home and give up on the whole thing. Well, this morning, God our Father, God your Father, has a message to his kids. He's gonna tell us this morning. He's gonna say, kids, I know it's hard. I know you're sick and tired, but you can't give up. You wanna know why? Because we will be there soon. We'll be there soon. So you're asking God, are we there yet? And his answer this morning is we will be there soon, but he wants to encourage you a little further. And so he said, hey kids, we'll be there soon. Until then, hold tight. Don't let go. Don't unstrap your seatbelt. Stay in the car, stand firm. We will be there soon. And he's gonna go a little further and he's gonna say, hey kids, we'll be there soon. Just be patient. Stay patient, wait patiently. And to some of us here this morning, he's gonna say, hey kids, I know it's hard. I know it's scary. We'll be there soon, but before we get there, some of you are gonna close your eyes. Some of you are gonna fall asleep. But hey, I know that's scary, but it's okay. Because I promise, when we get there, if you just fall asleep, you'll have arrived at your final destination. So God's message to you and I here this morning through his word is just trust me and do not give up. We will be there soon. We'll be in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 13 through 20. As we stand and read God's word, we're gonna read out of verses 17 and 18, and we'll walk through our entire text. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 through 18. Here's what God tells his children, you and me. He says, so when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath. So that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray that this morning your children would hear your voice, and as scared as we might be, as disappointed as we might be, we would hear your voice promise that we will be there soon. We will be with you by your side soon. And so until then, we just can't give up. We gotta keep holding tight. We gotta wait patient. And even if we fall asleep before we get there, Let us fall asleep, trusting firmly in the promise you have made to us. God, we need you and we need Christ to anoint this time. It's in his name we pray. Amen. So all semester long, we've been walking through this book of Hebrews, and it's been great, okay? But one of the common themes that we've ran into is you have a congregation, this Jewish congregation, who is on the verge of giving up. Like, they're tired. They're facing all types of suffering and pressure from the world around them to just cave in, to go back to their old Jewish ways, Jewish practices. And so we have a weary congregation, but last week, as Corey preached through a really tough passage, he ended with some hope. Because as weary as this congregation is, they have a preacher who is very optimistic. They have a preacher who is very hopeful. And so after he warns them, hey, you guys are in danger of falling away, he then says this in verse 9 of chapter 6. He says, though we speak in this way, yet in your case, beloved, we feel sure, we feel confident, we are optimistic of better things, things of salvation. So as weary as this congregation is, and their preacher knows it, he is still hopeful that they won't give up, that they won't give in, but they'll continue persevering to the end. And what we ended with last week is what he's gonna do, what the preacher does is he looks at his congregation and he gives them examples to imitate so that they will persevere until the end. And we see this in verses 11 and 12. He tells them, we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but, and here's the key, but that you would be imitators. You would follow the example of those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. So that's where we're going. We're gonna get a lot of examples in Hebrews of saints who have gone before us. And the whole key is, hey, what he did, you do. What she did, you do. And the chief example in our passage is gonna be a guy by the name of Abraham. So as we look at our text, 13 through 20, we're gonna divide it into three sections here this morning. Okay, the first section is gonna be the example of Abraham, right? We're gonna spend a lot of time, the preacher's just gonna show us, here's what happened to Abraham. And the whole point is this second section. He wants to encourage us to do the same thing as Abraham. And the third section is we're gonna end with the effect, what we obtain when we follow Abraham's example. So the first thing we're gonna walk through is the example of Abraham, and here's what he set. Here's the example he has set before us. Abraham trusted God's promise. Really simple, yet so crucial. Abraham trusted God's promise. So the first thing we need to see is that God has made a promise to Abraham, and we see it in verse 13 and 14 of our text. Here's what the preacher says. He says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless you and multiply you. So if you're familiar with the story of Abraham, maybe you are, maybe you're not, it's okay. You would know that God's promise to Abraham is very profound, it's very dense, it's a little bit complicated. For our purposes this morning, we're just gonna make it really simple. And we're gonna say God's promise to Abraham centered around these three things. Number one, a son was coming. Abraham, I'm gonna give you offspring. A son is coming. Number two, through that son, you're gonna experience victory over all of your enemies. And number three, through that son, you will become the father of many nations. I will bless all the nations of the earth through the son that is coming. Here's what I want us to think about this morning as we think about this promise that God made to Abraham and we think about Abraham's life. If you know much about Abraham, you know that these promises are good, but they are hard to believe. They are good, but based on Abraham's circumstances, that's not an easy ask to just trust God, to just be patient. Just think about Abraham's life. We first meet Abraham in chapter 12. God calls Abraham. He first makes a promise to Abraham. I'm going to give you offspring. But Abraham at that point is 75 years old. And his wife Sarah is 65 and she is barren. And God's promising them babies. Like, we know that that is not normal. That is not likely. And you got to put yourself in Abraham's shoes and realize that's a hard promise to believe. 25 years go by. Genesis chapter 17. 25 years go by, still no baby. Abraham's 99 now. His wife Sarah is 89 now. She's still barren. They still don't have a son. This isn't easy for Abraham. His life is hard. And then when his son Isaac finally does come, what's God ask him to do? He says, Abraham, I need you to take Isaac. I need you to take a knife. And I need you to sacrifice your son, your only son. Like, if you're Abraham, what are you doing in that moment? You say, sure, like, where's the knife? Like, this is easy. Just give me the nearest kitchen knife. Isaac, lay on the floor. That's not an easy ask. That is hard. There is doubt in Abraham's mind about God's promise. And even when God provides the ram, he saves Isaac's life, it still is not easy for Abraham. God has promised him all these things, but at this point, Genesis chapter 22, he's well over 100 years old. He has one offspring. He has no land. He hasn't beaten any of his enemies. And the nations who he's meant to be the father of, they don't have a clue who he even is. And he's at the end of his life. He's an old man and he's about to die. And so here's what this Hebrews congregation, when they heard this message, here's what they would have understood, and here's what Hardin needs to understand this morning. Abraham's an incredible guy, but he had a hard life. Abraham had a very hard life, and Abraham's life was full of all types of suffering. It was full of hardships. Like, at no point in Abraham's life did his earthly circumstances suggest that just trusting God was ever easy or that it was ever natural. In fact, at many points in his life, I think the most obvious thing for Abraham to do, the most tempting thing for Abraham to do would have been to just give up. God, I'm 75. My wife's barren. Like, this sounds good, but I'm just gonna go home. God, now I'm 99. You still haven't answered your promise. I'm just gonna go home. God, you gave me a son, now you want me to kill him? I'm just gonna go home. God, you promised me all these things, but I'm about to die. I'm just gonna go home. That's what would have been easy for Abraham. You gotta be thinking, as nice as these promises are, I just don't think they're gonna come true. And you know what I believe? I believe that's exactly how Abraham felt at many points in his life. And I believe that God knew that's how Abraham felt at many points in his life. I think there were times that Abraham's finger was on the give up button. Like, I'm done, I'm out, I can't do this anymore. But instead of getting frustrated at Abraham's doubt, what we're gonna see is that God was very patient with Abraham. He didn't reprimand him. He didn't slap him across the wrist. God encouraged Abraham in his doubt to keep on trusting and to not give up, despite what his circumstances, what his life currently looked like. So what did God do? He didn't just make Abraham a promise, but next we're gonna see, he swore. He made an oath with Abraham to keep this promise. God swears, verse number 13, when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless you and multiply you. God makes an oath with Abraham. So put yourself in Abraham's shoes. Everything's uncertain. Everything is shaky ground. And here comes God, and he provides great certainty in the midst of your uncertainty. And he does it by swearing to you that he will keep his promise. But he didn't just swear. The Bible says that he swore by himself, or he swore on himself. So in other words, God swears on God to Abraham that he will keep his promise. Have you ever heard anyone swear on something great? I remember when I was in middle school, when I was in high school, a common thing people would say, and they had no idea what they were talking about. They would say, "Hey, I swear on my mother's grave that I'm telling the truth." If they want to get a little bit more serious, they might say, "Hey, I swear on the Bible, I'm not lying." And every now and then, if they really wanted you to know that they were telling the truth, they say, "Hey, I swear on God, I'm telling the truth." Now, why do people do this? Verse number 17 explains. It says, we do this because we know we have to swear by something greater than ourselves, and in all of our disputes, an oath is final for confirmation. And so in other words, right, we swear on things that are great in hopes of whoever we're talking to, we can eliminate any doubt in their mind that we might be lying. That's the goal. We swear to eliminate doubt. So here's what God does. He knows his promise is good enough as it is. It's God. He made a promise. That's good enough. But he also knows that Abraham has some doubts. He also knows that Abraham just isn't sure. And so instead of just promising him, God ups the stakes and he makes a swear to him. He makes an oath to him and he swears by himself because there's nothing greater to swear by. The point is that God wants Abraham to feel completely sure. He wants Abraham to feel secure about the promise that he has made him. He wants to eliminate all doubt in Abraham's mind that he might not keep this promise. And as unsure as Abraham is, just put yourself in his shoes. Like, life is uncertain. It's full of suffering. And you don't know if he can keep these promises. When God swears to you, well, you know God's not a liar. And you know that he won't bring dishonor to his name. So as unsure as you are, there's certainty that God will keep this promise. And so let's watch at what God's oath leads Abraham to do. God makes a promise, he swears, and then despite his circumstances, what we're gonna see is this leads Abraham to do two things. It leads him to trust God and to wait patiently. He trusts God and he waits patiently on the promise. Verse number 15. And thus Abraham, because God promised and now has sworn, Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. So you see, despite his circumstances, despite his age, despite his wife's barrenness, despite what his life looked like, besides what he felt like in that moment, he heard God's word to him. He heard God's promise to him. He heard God's oath to him. And he was able, despite all that, to trust in the Lord. And because he trusted him, he was able to do a couple things. He was able to hold tight and he was able to wait patiently for God to fulfill his promise to him. So here's the point. Here's what I want us to see this morning about Abraham. He didn't let the world dictate his faith. He didn't look at his circumstances and say, "Here is where my hope and trust lie. Here is what is good and true." He didn't look to the world. He looked to the word. He looked to God's word and said, "This is what is true. This is what is certain. This is what I'm standing on. This is what is good." He heard God's promise, he heard God's oath, and despite his circumstances, he responded by trusting God. Not doubting, but trusting. And so here in Hebrews, what God is trying to get this Hebrews congregation to do, and what he's trying to get you and I to do this morning, is he wants us to follow Abraham's example. And God gets it. Life is hard. And he knows that our circumstances, for many of us, they just stink. Like, I know how hard of a year it's been for so many of you. I know how hard of a week it's been for so many of you. We lose loved ones. We lose children. Sickness overcomes us. Sin breaks families apart. People hurt us. We're persecuted at school and work. Our family won't talk to us. We get old and we die. We go on and on and on about all the suffering that you and I experience as individuals and as a church family. But here's the point that God is making. Despite all that, despite what your week or your year or your life has looked like, no matter what circumstances you find yourself in here this morning, there is one thing and only one thing that will never change, and it's God. God is still good. He is still for you. He still loves you. And just like he did for Abraham, he has made a promise to you. So here's the encouragement that God wants us to get this morning through Abraham's example. Just like Abraham trusted God, the whole point is that you and I can and we must trust God too. And here's why. Just like God made a promise and an oath to Abraham, what we're gonna see is that he's done the same thing for you and me. God has made a promise to you, and God has sealed that promise with an oath. Not just to Abraham, but to you and me. Verse number 17, when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise. Do you know who that is? Do you know who the heirs of the promise are? That's us, Hardin. That is the church. You and I, who have come to trust in Jesus Christ, we are Abraham's heirs. We are the heirs of the promise. And so the promise God has made to Abraham, guess what? He's also made it to you. He's also made it to us. Now let's remember really quick what God promised Abraham. We'll put it back on the screen. He promised that a son was coming. He promised that victory over his enemies through that son was coming, and he promised blessings for all the nations of the earth through that son. That was coming too. And what I want us to do this morning is I want us to look back and I want us to see what God promised and swore to Abraham, he kept. He fulfilled it. Not through Isaac, not through Jacob, not through anyone that came through the line, but through one man that came through the line. His name is Jesus. God kept his promise to Abraham through his own son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Son of God and the Son of Abraham, has already come. And at the cross and by his resurrection, this Son of God, this Son of Abraham, has won the victory over our greatest enemies. Not those who persecute us, but over sin, over death, over Satan. And through his gospel going forth by the mouth of the church today, guess what? All the nations of the earth are being blessed. They're hearing about the gift of salvation. And so God's promise to Abraham, I want you to see, he kept it like he said he would. Was there really any doubt? There was a whole lot of doubt. But God kept his promise to Abraham. And now you and I are heirs of the promise. We're children of Abraham. And so what has God promised us? It's the same promise, but it looks just a little bit different. God promises you this morning that the Son is coming. Not for the first time, because he already has, but for the second time. Just like he has come once, Jesus Christ is coming again. God promises. Number two, final victory, ultimate victory over all of our enemies through that son, it's coming too. Because when Christ comes back, he is coming once and for all to destroy sin, to defeat death, and to cast Satan into the fiery pit once and for all. It's coming. And number three, he promises us the ultimate consummation of blessings for all the nations of the earth through that son. Because when Christ comes back, he defeats death, and people from all over the earth, all nations, surround his throne, and we praise him and we thank him for all of eternity for what he's done for us in his cross and in his resurrection. That is where you and I are headed. This is the promise God has made to us, the heirs of promise. Christ is coming back. And when he does, here's the point. All of this suffering you're experiencing, all this sin that you just can't quite kick, the persecution you're facing, the sickness you can't beat, it all ceases to exist the day Christ comes back. And you may be thinking, that sounds really good. That sounds incredible. But I just don't know. Because if I'm honest, when I open up social media, or when I watch the news, or when I talk to my friends, or when I just think about my own life or my friend's life or our suffering, it really doesn't seem like these things are going to happen. And if we're just honest, it's been nearly 2,000 years since Christ promised he'd return, and he's still not here. So there's a temptation. As good as these promises sound, maybe you're here this morning and you just got a little bit of doubt on whether any of these things will actually come true. And I think to some degree, all of us have a little bit of doubt, just like Abraham. But listen to what God does for you this morning to ease that doubt. Verse 17 says that God has taken this promise and he's guaranteed it with an oath. He's guaranteed it with an oath. And so not only has God made a promise to you, but he has sworn an oath to you. And you know why that's such a good thing? Because by these two unchangeable things, that's God's promise and God's oath, and because it's impossible for God to lie, despite your circumstances this morning, you can be 100% certain that God will do what he said he will do. You can be absolutely sure he is going to keep his promise to you. And so despite what your life looks like, despite how you feel, despite what you're walking through this morning, in Christ Jesus, you have a guarantee. A guarantee that better days, they're on the horizon. They are coming. We will be there soon. So I know it's difficult. God knows it's difficult, but he is calling us this morning to respond like Abraham. How did he respond? By trusting God and waiting patiently. That's God's point this morning. That's the point of the promise, the oath. They are meant to cause us to trust more deeply in God than we've ever trusted before, and to wait more patiently on God than we've ever waited before. The point in verse 18 is God's trying to give us strong encouragement. Isn't that that is comforting, that God of the universe, with all he's doing right now, he has come to Hardin Baptist Church this morning, and he says, I want to encourage you. Because I know you're weak and I know you're unsure. And so I want to strongly encourage you to do two things. Number one, flee to God for refuge. Flee to him for refuge. Don't flee to your circumstances. Don't flee to the world. Flee to God for refuge. That is trust in Christ. And number two, when you do that, hold fast to the hope that is set before you. Don't budge. Wait patiently for God to fulfill his promise that he has promised you. That is God's strong encouragement to you and I here this morning. So can you just imagine being this Hebrew congregation, this tiny, weak, little, suffering Hebrew congregation that got this letter? Their lives are so hard. And to be honest, it just doesn't seem like their lives are gonna get any better anytime soon. Their circumstances do not suggest they should just trust God. They should just wait patiently. And they're on the verge, clearly, all throughout this letter, they are on the verge of walking away. They've had enough and they're ready to give up. And so what does their preacher do? He stands before them, he looks them in the eyes and said, brothers and sisters, remember God's promise. Remember his oath to you. I know you're tired. I know you're hurting. I know life is hard, but we can't give up. We have to hold fast. God will keep his promise to us. We will be there soon. And so, Harden, I don't know. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel just a whole lot like them. If you're honest with yourself, you feel like this congregation. I'm on the verge of giving up. I don't get why all these things are happening. I don't get why Christ hasn't come back yet. I'm on the verge of just walking away and giving up completely. But hear God's word to you this morning. He says, kids, don't do it. Don't draw away from me, draw closer to me. Because I have made a promise to you and I've sworn to keep it. So I know your life is hard, but kids, you can trust in me. Christ the Son, he's coming. And when he does, all sin, all death, all suffering, the greatest enemy, Satan, they'll all be defeated. And people from all nations will gather before his throne and we will worship him forever. We will be there soon. So church, no matter your circumstances, no matter what your life may look like, no matter how you may feel, the point that God is encouraging you to do this morning is to trust him and do not give up. And finally, we're gonna end by looking at the very end of this passage. Watch what happens. Hear the effect of what you obtain when you take God's encouragement. When you trust God despite your circumstances, here's what he gives you. He gives you an unshakable hope in Christ. Despite your suffering, despite your hardships, despite your persecution, despite that sickness, despite death itself, if you have Christ, and you're trusting firmly in him, you have an unshakable hope this morning. In the midst of life's storms, the preacher's gonna say, you and I get a sure and steady anchor for our souls. Verse number 19, we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So by trusting in Christ and what he's done for us, the point is no matter what life may bring, in Christ, you and I have a sure and steady anchor for our souls. I want you to picture something with me this morning. I want you to picture you in the middle of an ocean, on a tiny little boat, and you in this tiny little boat, middle of the ocean, a huge storm is coming your way. It's a scary situation. And what I want to tell you is, unfortunately, that is our life here on earth. It is hard, it is dangerous, it's scary, and it's full of all types of trials, all types of tribulations. But here is the good news, church. As bad as that sounds, as scary as that is, in the middle of this storm, your weak little boat is tethered to the strongest anchor you could ever imagine. Your boat's rocking. Waves are splashing over. You are screaming, you're crying, you're scared, and life on top of the ocean does not look promising. It does not look good. But deep down on the ocean floor, your anchor isn't budging. It's immovable. That's what you and I get when we trust God's promise. It doesn't mean the storm stops. That's not what happens. It doesn't mean life gets better. It usually doesn't. It means that as the storm rages and ravishes your life, you don't drift. You don't get out. You don't capsize. You stay sure and firm, standing fast on a sure and steady anchor named Jesus, who you are tethered to in faith. But the only way you stay safe in that storm is if you grip that anchor as tight as you've ever gripped, and you do not give up. So, you know, when I think back to that 9-hour beach trip, I'm convinced it really is just a snapshot. It's a glimpse of our lives here on earth. It's hard. It's miserable at times. There's suffering. There's sin. And if we're honest, there's days we just want to turn the car around and go home. There's got to be a better way. But just like I told my kids, I want you to hear God tell you this morning. He says, kids, I promise you, we will be there soon. Don't get out. Hold fast. Don't give up. Wait patiently. And hey, kids, we will be there soon, but before we get there, it's possible that some of you are gonna fall asleep. You're gonna rest your eyes. And that's scary. But trust me, when you wake up, we will be there. I will keep my promise to you, God says. So trust in him and do not give up. As our band comes back up to lead us in a song of response, I want to tell you that as hard as that trip was, the beach was absolutely worth it. We loved the beach. We had a great time on the beach. And I want you to know, church, that the trip you're on called life, it's hard. But if you stay on that boat, it will be worth it. Because one day you will arrive at heaven's shore. Christ will return. You will stand before him and you will meet with your eyes the sure and steady anchor of your soul. And for all of eternity, because you trusted God and waited patiently today, sorrows, suffering, sin, and Satan will all cease, and we will spend eternity together with the lover of our souls. So we're gonna stand and we're gonna sing Christ the Sure and Steady Anchor, and it is a song of faith. If you need to convince yourself during this time that he is the sure and steady anchor, convince yourself. Because he is, God has promised, and he will keep his promise. Let us worship and trust and wait for Christ, the sure and steady anchor. Let's pray real quick. Heavenly Father, we love you. We praise you, and we trust in you and you alone. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content, or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.